Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. Now, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right, folks. It is the Weekly Worldview. Welcome back to the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do focus on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. Good to have you with us. I drove down to Skid Row this past week here in Denver, and wow, there's a lot of bums on Skid Row in Denver. I couldn't. They actually have barricades up the side of the road. So that they could, the bums are all in a trough, basically, right alongside the Denver Rescue Mission. And I had heard that perhaps the legalization of dope here in Colorado had increased the population of our homeless community. And indeed, I witnessed it myself. I had to dodge a homeless bum on a bicycle. It was terrifying. And now that the warmer weather is upon us, I believe that every bum seeking legalized dope is going to end up in Colorado, and you won't even be able to make it down East Colfax before too long. What an experience that was. You drive through there, and they don't make eye contact with you, and there's just a lot of them. Now, why did I start with the bums on Skid Row? I don't know why I started with the bums on Skid Row. I was going to open with this story out of Israel about some hippies over in Jerusalem. Hippies in Jerusalem. I know, it seems odd, but they had a Burning Man festival there. Are you familiar with the Burning Man festival? He asked, his extremely attractive audio engineer. I was invited to a Burning Man festival back in 1993-ish by a hippie, and I did not go. But the Associated Press reports that the Burning Man Festival is famous for its pyrotechnic spectacles. Pyrotechnic spectacles. I thought that the Burning Man Festival was famous for the free exchange of drugs and venereal diseases amongst neo-hippies, but apparently they light a giant man on fire, and then they all take drugs, and, well, it's just it's a hippie fest.
That's dangerous.
It's very dangerous. As a matter of fact, the Israeli Antiquities Authority says that revelers at this year's Israeli Burning Man Festival accidentally torched some ancient artifacts right outside. Yes, they burned a wooden temple last Saturday on a hilltop scattered with flint tools and other ancient artifacts. A Burning Man spokesman was asked about the problems. He says that the festival was unaware of any sensitive sites at our location, and I'm really sorry if there was a misunderstanding. Well, we're going to check into what happened, and we're going to make sure that this doesn't happen again.
Is that a Californian?
Yeah, he's an Israeli LA transplant. Anyway, you moronic stoned-out hippie, it can't happen again because you burned the thing down. It won't happen again. Next year, you'll have to destroy something else besides your mind. anyway, so the hippies. So we had a police cadet killed here in Colorado. Over this past week, a cadet and a Colorado Highway Patrol officer had stopped along the side of the road to assist a stranded motorist when they got the radio call that there was a maniac leading police on a high-speed chase, and they were asked to throw out stop sticks. These are the little strips of spikes that they throw out into the road to stop maniacs on high-speed chases. Well, the cadet and the officer were setting out the stop sticks, and the maniac ran over both officers, killing the cadet, seriously injuring the highway patrol officer. And the response of Longmont Police is to no longer use stop sticks. I know, it's like that old George Carlin joke. It's unbelievable. So they say they'll no longer ask officers to put their lives in danger by throwing out stop sticks, when really what they should do is try and execute the maniac who led them on a high-speed chase, and then they wouldn't have to use stop sticks nearly as often if they would just do justice in this case. But instead, they've decided to stop. And that's just embarrassing for the Longmont police. And with the police under assault, we'll get to some of that later in the broadcast, the whole concept of policing, if that's even a word, is that a word that the liberals made up, policing? I thought it was law enforcement, but now it's policing. Community policing. What's that now? Yes, policing means picking up cigarette butts outside of the sergeant's Quonset hut is what I thought. Yeah. No, it's community policing. Yeah, and in fact, I think that George Soros and his minions would prefer that the police spend their time picking up cigarette butts rather than criminals. But I heard an interview with Sheriff Clark out in Milwaukee. I kind of like this guy. I like Sheriff Clark. He could be the sheriff that I've been looking for. I've got to try to arrange a way to meet Sheriff Clark. He was on, who's the angry blonde on Fox? What's her name? Megyn Kelly. She looked angry at Sheriff Clark for some reason. She always looks angry to me. I don't know what it is. Bad Botox job or something. But I've got a quote here that I heard Sheriff Clark say on Kelly's anger fest a few days ago. He said, quote, "I want my officers out on the street patrolling high crime areas," unquote. That's Sheriff Clark out in Milwaukee. Says he doesn't want his officers in the office doing paperwork, reporting on every time they draw their gun. Instead, he says, "I want my officers out on the street patrolling high crime areas." And I am of the belief that if Sheriff Clark were allowed to do his job, he would never say that. He would never say he wants his officers out patrolling high crime areas, because if Sheriff Clark was allowed to operate as he should and as I believe he wants to, there wouldn't be any high crime areas, not even in Milwaukee. But instead, there are. But there shouldn't be. The fact that the police are forced to tolerate high crime areas, and not forget the police, the citizens, the people who have to live in these areas, are forced to tolerate a well-known high crime areas is unsatisfactory. And I want to get a chance to meet Sheriff Clark out of Milwaukee. The reason I want to get to meet this fella is because right there on Kelly, what's her name, Kelly Clarkson? Megyn Kelly, right there on Megyn Kelly's show, he condemned people for using a broad brush to condemn all police because there may be a few bad police. He said, and here's what he said. He said, look, when Kermit Gosnell was taken down for murdering all those babies, we didn't broad brush the whole medical industry and attack them. And Megyn Kelly had to jump in at that point. She could not tolerate an unsolicited mention of the Kermit Gosnell House of Horrors abortion story. You could see as soon as he mentioned Kermit Gosnell, I think I saw Kelly's eyebrows move. And believe me, it takes a lot to get Kelly Clarkson's eyebrows to move. Megyn Kelly, I'm sorry. Who is Kelly Clarkson? Why am I thinking of Kelly Clarkson? American Idol, that's right. Okay, so you can understand my confusion. All right. So anyway, Megyn didn't like the unsolicited Gosnell reference, and she immediately cut the good sheriff off. And hence, I want to meet this fella. Anyone who brings up Gosnell or abortion in general, unsolicited, in front of God and everybody and Megyn Kelly, well, he might be my kind of guy. And as you know, I'm looking for a sheriff who wants to make history and has the nerve to shut down child-killing centers in his jurisdiction. And I tell you what, I look at Sheriff Clark from Milwaukee. I'd like to look him eye to eye across a table and talk to him about it. Hopefully we can get him to come to town. Too bad I don't do interviews. I don't take calls. I don't do any of that. But perhaps I can set up an interview with someone else and bring... If anyone out there knows how to get a hold of Sheriff Clark, well, I know Fox News knows how to get a hold of him. He's on there every, like, twice a day now. And a very compelling character he is, I must say. All right, now, let's move on What do we want to? We want to talk about Denny Hastert? No, we don't want to. That's very distasteful. Turns out he's a child molester, high school wrestling coach. I always wondered why he was so beloved by everyone on the right and the left in the Congress when he was Speaker of the House. And now I know, because he was compromised. And not that he was a person who compromised. He was well known as that, a compromiser. But he's also a compromisee. Been trying to cover up the fact that he molested boys as a high school coach for, two decades? Hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe millions of dollars? Disgusting. And, he was a Republican, for those of you who didn't know, because he was virtually invisible as a rubber stamp for the New World Order there in the Congress. All right. The Muhammad thing down in Phoenix, I got to tell you, folks, I am not a supporter of Mohammed, as you well know, and I am a supporter of those who would draw cartoons of Mohammed, but I am not a supporter of ex-Marines who walk around with a rifle in front of a mosque with a shirt that says F Islam. I don't think that's the way we move forward on this. The last thing I want is armed, angry, vulgar bikers to be looked at as the patriots in this situation. Because that's not patriotic. It's not productive. In fact, it's embarrassing to Western civilization in general that this loser has to wear a shirt that says F Islam. That's not the way we need to carry this out. We need to introduce the Mohammedans to Jesus Christ, not angry, foul-mouthed ex-Marine biker losers. Yeah. I don't care that he was a Marine. You think I'm impressed? I don't care. He's not a hero. He's an idiot. And I don't believe he should be shot for what he's done, but I don't believe that he's doing anything constructive. And I don't want to look to the bikers to save us. No, I want the civilized Christians to bring peace to our Middle Eastern brethren through the introduction of Jesus Christ. Not F Islam t-shirts. Thank you very much. Go sit down and shut up with that. All right. Now, is there anyone I've missed? Yeah. Let's go to reason number 917, ladies and gentlemen. To get or keep your children out of the government schools, we go to, where are we going? To Connecticut, where David Olio, a high school AP English teacher, has resigned. Why did he resign? Well, there was some controversy over the fact that he read a homopornographic poem by Allen Ginsberg to his high school class. And I would tell you about the poem. I would read lines from the poem, but you really can't pass about the first half a dozen lines or so because it's just disgusting. And he read this in front of his students some time ago. And district officials have been under some pressure from some of the hapless parents who packed their kids off to the public schools. And people think that I'm hyperbolic when I say that the public schools are infiltrated with child molesters and homosexualists, but that's what this guy is. In my opinion, he molested the minds of these children at the very least, and I'd be investigating exactly what this guy is up to. Frankly, you read Allen Ginsberg to a high school class, you should be arrested. But an Illinois University professor, an English professor, he has a different opinion. He says that the teacher should not be fired for reading Allen Ginsberg's disgusting vulgar poem. He says, hey, if you can't handle Ginsberg, how are you going to teach Walt Whitman, huh? Whitman, huh? Ginsberg, yeah, right? Either education is a place where you can talk about bigger issues and challenge students, or it isn't. And certainly, students on their way to college in advanced college prep class, they need to know that sometime, sure, things can be uncomfortable. That's what education is about. Making the students sexually uncomfortable in class. Yes, they're on their way to college, for crying out loud. Have you ever read Whitman? Huh? Can you believe this? Anyway, so that reason number 917, ladies and gentlemen, your son may be propositioned by an AP English teacher by way of reading him a Ginsberg poem. It makes my skin crawl to think about that. All right, so reason. Let's just move right on No, we can't move on from that because it was a Ginsberg poem and it was read in a high school. And if I, you know who I need to meet? I need to meet the sheriff of this Connecticut town, and we need to launch an investigation and have this mind-raping pervert arrested. It's the Weekly Worldview, and we are back. Thank you, Sammy. Yes, let's move on now to reason number 919 in no particular order. Reason number 919, to keep or get your children out of the government schools. This story comes to us from New York Magazine. Washington State Medicaid program exists. A Medicaid program, I said, to target minors seeking contraceptives. Students in Washington State can now get counseling, IUD insertion, or a birth control prescription at their school-based clinic. Yeah, I said IUD insertion at school. IUD, by the way, is an intrauterine device that prevents a nascent embryo from implanting in the mother's womb and kills an innocent person. And the school nurse can give your kid a Tylenol or insert an IUD right there in an in-office visit now in Washington State, thanks to a program, a Medicaid program called Take Charge. That, yes, the schools want to take charge of your daughter's reproductive activity and sexual activity, and they want to facilitate as much of it as possible. And they're doing it right in the nurse's office at school. And IUDs, by the way, nymag.com tells us that IUDs are the most expensive form of birth control, but they're free for students in the Take Charge program. And NYMAG also reminds us that the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecologists recommends IUDs and other long-acting reproductive control devices are the most effective way to prevent teen pregnancy. They said that back in 2009. The most effective way to prevent teen pregnancy is to not send your daughter to public school where they'll insert an IUD and then offer her up to the football team. That's the most effective way. Teach your child that sex is sacred. It's a gift from God to be enjoyed between one man and one woman for life within the bounds of marriage. That's the most effective way to keep your daughter from becoming pregnant, or to keep your son from impregnating some hapless girl who's been dumped at the public school by her hapless moronic parents. There's another program called Neighbor Care. We care about our neighbors. Yeah, they run clinics at 6 public schools, and they've implanted over 500 IUDs in little girls at school. Quite often without their parents' consent. Because, they say, having a clinic on site draws in students who might not otherwise seek out birth control. Yes, many students don't want to use their parents' private insurance, and they don't want to face parental judgment regarding birth control. And so Neighbor Care cares for our neighbors, and we insert IUDs into our neighbors. Let's see here. They say the school culture has become much more open to conversations about birth control with the addition of the clinic right there on school grounds. Let's see. Do I have a student here? I believe this. No, this is a nurse. The school nurse says, quote, "Well, the birth control culture, for lack of a better term, and the conversations have just changed so much. There's so much pride now amongst the students. I've got this method. You've got that method. I've got this other method. Well, it's not just a hush-hush thing anymore. So many students will come in and say, oh, my friend got the IUD. Can I make an appointment? She got an iPhone first. She got the Apple Watch first. And now she got the IUD first. Can I make an appointment, please? The confidential, supportive environment of the clinic is open to the needs of its teenage patients. At one point, at a school in Washington State, the entire school gymnastics team squeezed into an exam room to support a teammate as she got her IUD inserted in front of the whole... This is just unbelievable. These people need... There need to be mass arrests for crying out loud. I know. I know this is anecdotal, but since I've been on the air on and off since 1999, it's just increased exponentially. Every day of every week, there is a story in some local paper or some local radio station about a teacher molesting a kid. And this, to me, inserting an IUD at the nurse's office, that's molestation of a child, in my opinion. And I think that the teachers, the administrators, the coaches, the wrestling coaches especially, should all be arrested en masse. Well, or at least investigated. It's just disgusting what's happening in the government schools. Ladies and gentlemen, don't send your children to the government schools. And there's no excuse that I will accept for doing so. I simply do not. This is America. We're not slaves, and you're not forced to put your kids in the government schools and to have their brains infected with humanism and Big Bang, Big Bang, Old Earth, cosmology, atheism, paganism, and then physically to have them. It's just unbelievable.
What's that nurse, Marine?
That nurse may have been an ex-Marine, yeah. They get pretty, those nurses get pretty leathery. I mean, you pump out 500 IUDs and, yeah, I mean, you get, yeah.
Was it a woman or
man? Oh, that was a woman, yes, of course. School nurse is always a woman. No, they don't allow male nurses to place the IUDs in the teenage girls. No. Anyway, let's move on now. Reason number 916, in no particular order, to get or keep your kids out of the government schools. Students are arranging fights via social media. They plan off-campus fights. They all show up. They videotape it on their phones. And then they post it up on Instagram and Facebook and whatnot. This is what, let's see, this is from the Norwalk Reflector. And they say this is a disturbing trend in the government schools. Hundreds and thousands of fight videos are up on the social media now. Some school districts, they say, are taking steps to address the problem. What steps? Monitoring the internet. Yeah, so they've bought software at the school so that they can monitor students as they plan the fights and then put the fight videos up online. And then, I don't know what they do, but they're aware. They've raised awareness, and to a liberal, simply raising awareness is considered effective. And so now all the teachers are aware. Maybe they go to the fights. Maybe they like them on Facebook. Many parents, according to this report, are clueless about the online sites that show middle school and high school students brawling. They could have just stopped at clueless. Many public school parents are clueless, period. All right, but if you've listened to this show, you are no longer clueless, so you've lost that excuse, okay? I've given you a clue. In fact, I've given you now 919 clues, and so you can still be considered hapless, but no longer clueless. Thank you very much. Now let's move away from the government schools, thank you very much, into the personhood file. Cosmopolitan Magazine has published an article describing the gruesome death of a 21-year-old Australian woman who reportedly died from taking birth control pills after 25 days. So she went on the pill because all her friends were on the pill, and she's been convinced by our pop culture, by our media, by her friends, by educators, that what really is the key to happiness is having sex with as many people as you can all the time. And so she got herself on the pill, and the pill, which is a potent concoction of steroidal hormones, killed her. She died. She stopped breathing. She was rushed to the hospital where it was observed that she had a large clot on her lung, and the right side of her heart became inflamed. After 3 days in the ICU, she was taken off life support, and she has since died. And Cosmopolitan asked the question, do the risks outweigh the benefits when it comes to the birth control pill? Well, so the fact that Cosmopolitan magazine asked the question is laudable to a certain degree. At least they've acknowledged that when you take a highly potent concoction of steroids and hormones, that it comes with some significant health risks. But the author of the Cosmopolitan story did feel obliged to say that oral contraceptives can be a total godsend for women. A total godsend. I don't think God would want women on the pill. I remember in the garden, God gave encouragement to be fruitful and multiply. He did not encourage anyone to tamper with your hormonal balance with steroids so that you could have sex with everyone all the time as much as you want. That's not what he said. So it's not a godsend. It's a, I don't know what you'd call it, an anti-god, a hell send. Anyway, birth control pills. Planned Parenthood, by the way, according to this article from Breitbart, Planned Parenthood continues to campaign so that school-age girls may receive free birth control without the knowledge of their parents. Hey, just like Cory Gardner. I don't know if you folks who are listening out there hither and nigh, scattered all over the world, to the Weekly Worldview, you may not have heard my broadcast earlier this week where I physically threatened Cory Gardner on the air, and I stand by that threat because Cory Gardner has introduced legislation, as he promised he would do, to make the birth control pill available to my daughter over the counter at Walgreens. And I take it personally, Corey, personally. And so if I see Corey Gardner, I will spit in his face, and I will call him on the fact, I will ask him, why do you want to give my daughter birth control pills? Are you some kind of pervert, Corey Gardner? All right. So he's in league with Planned Parenthood to give as many teenage girls the pill as he can. But, of course, Cory Gardner wants to come across as a conservative. Planned Parenthood has no such compunction. On its website, Planned Parenthood tells girls as young as my daughter, quote, most of the time, you don't need your parents' permission to get birth control. If you have to use your parents' health insurance, and you're worried about your parents, like, finding out, you can always call your nearest Planned Parenthood Health Center to see if they can give you free or low-cost services. See, we'll call them services. Free or low-cost services. And you don't have to use mom and dad's insurance, and they don't have to know anything, they said on their website. That was from the personhood file. Yeah, so why is that in the personhood file? Well, there's several reasons. Number one, the personhood movement in Colorado gave Cory Gardner his political career, and then he used it to stab us in the back because he's a lying pervert who wants to give birth control pills to my daughter. Also, girls are surrendering their own personhood voluntarily so that they can now be considered vestibules for sexual activity. A girl becomes just a physical sexual plaything. She gets herself hopped up on steroids so she can't get pregnant, puts her health at risk so that she can be fed to the boys at her local government school. And then, of course, when you have young kids having sex all the time, you have a lot of unwanted pregnancies. That means a lot of children are killed for convenience sake. An affront to the personhood of the human being, an affront to the living God in whose image we were all created. Meanwhile, down in Chile, from the personhood file, Chile, AP says they are one of Latin America's most socially conservative countries, but they are now grappling with shifting views on once taboo issues. Yes, they're grappling with once taboo issues. And I just want to say that as soon as you decide that you're going to allow a public grappling with once taboo issues like divorce, homosexual marriage, abortion, you know, things that we never used to even talk about in public, as soon as you decide that you're going to have a public grappling, the enemy has already won. Once the religious and political leaders decide that it's appropriate to discuss in public as if there may be any other alternative to things like child killing and homosexual marriage and dope to be legal, as soon as you say it's appropriate to discuss this in public, you have lost the debate. Because what you've said is there is an alternative to what we know to be right. And we're going to consider that alternative. Those alternatives should not be considered. But down in Chile, they are now having a public debate over homosexual marriage and abortion, particularly, because there is still a nominal abortion ban down in Chile. But AP reports that a generational shift is occurring, and that young people born after Pinochet, the dictator, are coming of age, and they want their abortions. And what has facilitated, in part, this public discussion about formerly taboo issues is the rampant Catholic priest sex abuse scandals. So the Catholic Church opened up this Pandora's box by allowing the molestation of children amongst the priesthood. And now, because they abandoned their first responsibility to shepherd the flock, and they molested the flock, and so now the flock is being taken over by the wolves. Well, all right. So, yeah, Pinochet, abortion was banned under all circumstances under the evil dictator Augusto Pinochet. I'm sure he was a bad guy. But this proves my axiom that even a power-hungry dictator, murderer, and a thief, he doesn't have to be, he's not for killing babies. I mean, if you ask Pinochet, he'd say, look, yeah, I murder people, I steal their money, but come on, I'm not going to kill babies. All right, let's see. And I guess that's all. No, I have anything more on that. Oh, I see. So now a poll released last year said that 70% of Chileans support abortion in the case of rape, unviable pregnancies, or when a woman's health is at risk, meaning that the people have been taught by the leadership that there is an alternative to right and wrong, and that only means one thing. It's just a matter of time until wrong wins the day. Doug McBurney, and this is the Weekly Worldview. Thank you very much, boys. Appreciate your efforts there. Yeah, that's what they're going to get, right? And in fact, this is a segue, or that was a segue, I suppose, into this. The Vatican has finally spoken up on the Irish referendum legalizing homosexual marriage. The homosexualists have been celebrating this past week. Because for the first time on a national level, a sovereign state has legalized homosexual marriage via a popular vote, and approximately 60% of young, stupid, perverted Irish people have voted to legalize. Well, they didn't vote to legalize a homosexual marriage. They may have done that, but what they really did was they voted to destroy biblical marriage. And I don't say traditional marriage, because marriage is not a tradition that was initiated by man. Marriage was initiated by God as an institution. In fact, the foundational institution that stops humanity from destroying itself is marriage between one man and one woman, hopefully with some kids that come along so that civilization can continue. But Ireland has voted to destroy marriage, and many are wondering why in this formerly very religious and somewhat conservative nation has the fall happened so quickly. And I think that the silence of the Vatican is a clue as to why. And it goes back to the aforementioned Chilean story. The Catholic Church worldwide was infiltrated by homosexual pervert deviants into the priesthood. They destroyed the church. They destroyed a generation's belief that any religion can be legitimate. And, of course, the Protestant faith healers and sex perverts, they didn't help either. But the Catholic Church, well, it writ large, destruction of any respect for religion writ large, the Catholic Church. But finally, a secretary at the Vatican, Cardinal Pietro Parolin, has called the result of the Irish homosexual marriage referendum, he calls it, quote, a defeat for humanity, unquote. And I will give credit to the Vatican that at least when they finally had the nerve to stand up and say something, or at least send out a secretary to say something, at least he said the right thing. It's a defeat for humanity. You people have to keep in mind that homosexuality has only been legalized and celebrated for very short periods of time in history, just prior to the fall of great empires. There's a reason they called it going Greek back when I was a young... Yeah. It's because we associate it with the decline and fall of the Greco-Roman Empire and all that. So there you go. But a defeat for humanity has occurred, and you can lay that defeat at the feet of the Pope, and the last Pope. I think have they canonized that Pope yet? The one from Poland who basically allowed the infiltration of the church by homosexual pedophiles? Pope John Paul II? Yeah, a really great guy. So he hates communists. All right, big deal. So he helped defeat communism. That's okay. I appreciate that. But why did you allow your church to be infiltrated by homosexual pedophiles and destroy a church that was, nearly 2,000 years old? It has been utterly destroyed. All right. And I'm not letting you Protestants off the hook either, right? I mean, we got who was the guy in Colorado Springs smoking crack and with a homosexual? It's just unbelievable. So it's no wonder that the young kids have lost all faith in any kind of organized religion. They just don't see how it's viable. And then they go and they hear a sermon and it's all about tolerance and love and rainbow flags. And what is this religion about anyway? Why would I need any of this? And the kids have fallen away. And it's just a tragedy and a disaster. And we can also lay the blame at the feet of parents who at the slightest bit of marital difficulty, they just get divorced. And then their kids end up hating their parents. And legitimately in some cases, illegitimately in others, but divorce leads to destruction and hatred. And so now we've got a whole generation of young people who can't trust religion. They hate their parents. And now they're being manipulated. We'll go to Baltimore from the war file. There have been 36 people killed in Baltimore so far this month, the month of May. The highest count since 1999. Which goes to tell you, it just goes to show you that we are on an algorithm of violence and destruction. And it's getting, the frequency and intensity of the algorithm of violence is increasing. We're reaching another crescendo here. Arrests in Baltimore have plunged more than 50% compared to last year. And Baltimore residents now say they worry they've been abandoned by the police officers that they have been accusing of harassing them. Yeah. I know. It's ironic, isn't it? They march in the streets of a small vocal minority stirred up by George Soros and the other humanist scum. They march through the streets and demand that the police be shut down, and so the police shut down, and now they're terrified. Actually, the ones who march in the streets probably aren't terrified. They're terrifying other people. The other citizens who sat around their houses and allowed the rabble to take control of the streets, now they can't leave their house because the police said, okay, you want us out? Well, we're out. Hey, we get a paycheck either way. Well, the commissioner there, the police commissioner in Baltimore, said last week, he said, quote, our officers tell me that when officers pull up, they have 30 to 50 people surrounding them at any time. Officers have expressed concern that they could be arrested for making mistakes. And so the police are now scared of the citizenry. And I'm just waiting, and I hope it doesn't happen, but this is what I foresee happening. Police are trying to make an arrest, are going to be shot and killed by other people, other criminals on the street. Because the police are going to be afraid to draw their guns, and the bad guys are going to get the drop on them. And I think this is inevitable, unless something changes dramatically from the top down, by the way. Let's see here. Protesters of Freddie Gray. Freddie Gray, right? Freddie Gray was such a wonderful person. He's someone we want all of our kids to look up to. He's a hero. And let's see here. The U.S. Justice Department invited the mayor there in Baltimore to participate in a collaborative review of the police department's policies. They also invited the mayor. U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch and the mayor and all of the socialist leaders there in Baltimore have called for a full-fledged probe of the police. And so crowds of angry citizens are probing the police as the police try to protect these idiots from each other and themselves. Baltimore had seen a slight rise in homicides this year, even before Freddie Gray's death back in April, but now it's just skyrocketing and people are afraid to leave their house. CBS News in Baltimore also reports, well, they interviewed a fella down there in the streets of Baltimore who says, usually you can't walk up and down the street drinking or smoking weed, but now people are everywhere smoking weed, and the police just ride by. They look at you and they keep going. So, and this reminds me of the story last week where that communist de Blasio wants to decriminalize low-level crimes in New York, like walking around drinking and smoking weed. Well, if you decriminalize low-level crimes, you're simply going to see an increase in more serious crimes. And you don't have to be, you don't have to have a PhD in criminology. Oh, you can't have a PhD in criminology, right? That's not a hard science. You can't have a master's degree in criminology, or you don't need a master's in criminology to understand that when you allow low-level crimes to operate publicly, that only leads to worse crime. You idiots. I mean, a sophomore in high school should be able to figure that out. But perhaps this is what they want. Perhaps the socialists who have squandered 3 generations worth of money and they realize it's all coming to an end very soon, and there's going to be a day of reckoning. Perhaps this is what they want, chaos, so they can take all the money and get away and hide. I don't know what's going on. It makes me crazy. Meanwhile, in light of rampant criminality in the streets of America, your Justice Department, under the fearless Loretta Lynch, has unsealed a 47-count indictment for racketeering and corruption and conspiracy charges against 14 FIFA officials. Yes, they've been charged with defaming the reputation of soccer, a game where you're allowed to fake injuries right in front of everyone, and they're concerned. Yes, and by the way, this investigation that indicted all these are the people who choose the World Cup sites around the world. They trade in coke and hookers and jobs and favors. And whoever does the most of all that gets the World Cup and makes a sizable donation to the Clinton Family Foundation Well, anyway, they've all been accused. And this, by the way, this investigation was born out of the Eastern District of New York, where Lynch served as U.S. attorney until her confirmation. And so now Loretta Lynch has basically taken a hand grenade and thrown it into the middle of Europe by accusing their football officials there of being a bunch of corrupt perverts. And I think, perhaps, I don't think that the Eastern District of New York was ever under consideration for a World Cup site, so I'm not sure why there was an investigation, but I have a feeling it has something to do with the flow of cocaine and hookers not going to people who eventually asked Loretta Lynch to get even with the perverts who didn't share the coke and hookers and all that. I think that's what it's all about. We've got, now we've got the Barry Obama administration has unleashed a war in the Middle East that seems to be doing nothing but boiling like a cauldron ready to explode. And now, by attacking the perverts who run FIFA, they're ready to start a war in Europe, too. All right, we just don't have time for the guitar solo this time. But I do think that is one of the best uses of the keyboard in all of rock and roll history. Was that little... Yeah, that's where a keyboard is appropriate. Otherwise, you keep them things in the background. But we don't have, keyboards? Anyway, we don't know. Anyway, rock and roll is dead, so... This is this show. We try to pay tribute to those who gave their lives. Yeah, rock and roll died sometime in the mid 1990s, I think. Anyway, so I'm embarrassed that I did that FIFA story. I apologize to the audience. My extremely attractive audio engineer during the break, she was like, "What was that? What was that all about?" And I guess I failed to make my point, and I shouldn't have even entertained that story. I apologize to everyone. Let's move on to the real war file, where China, according to the Sydney Morning Herald down in Australia, China has moved weaponry now onto the artificial islands that it is building in contested areas of the South China Sea. Yes, they've been building islands so that they can... Well, they say, why are they building islands? China says the new islands will be used for humanitarian, environmental, fishing, and other internationally minded purposes. Hence the weapons. Yes. You know, when you're doing humanitarian environmental work or fishing, it's good to have large caliber artillery because, well, you know how things can go. Anyway, China doesn't have to explain itself because the West has no moral authority to question China on anything anymore. And frankly, I think that when China flexes their muscles here in the not-too-distant future, perhaps... in the Straits of Taiwan, I think Barack Obama and the others at the four horsewomen of the apocalypse and the rest of the girl junta who are running our military, I think they'll just pee all over themselves if China decides to take Taiwan. They'll just wet themselves and beg China not to hurt us. It's embarrassing. Well, the reporters at the Sydney Morning Herald think that perhaps China actually wants to project military power across a maritime expanse, which they remind us includes some of Australia's busiest trading lanes, prompting discussions in senior military circles that could lead to Australia embarking on a freedom of navigation mission to demonstrate that the Australian government does not accept Beijing's claims in regards to the South China Sea. Yes, there are options. The Australian Navy and Air Force could do fly-throughs and sail-throughs and have military exercises right there in the disputed waters off of these phony baloney islands that the Chinese are building. They're really just aircraft carriers and artillery bases. Well, maybe the Australians have the nerve to tell the Chinese that you can't have the South China Sea. The United States certainly doesn't. And I think that while the Arabs slaughter themselves and, of course, persecute and slaughter Christians in the Middle East, I think that this tension in the South China Sea is worth observing and not becoming too distracted from what could be a global conflagration in the East as well as the Middle East. And so we hope that perhaps if the Australians stand up to them, perhaps the Chinese will realize that not everybody is going to wet themselves when the Chinese declare that they're the all-powerful hegemon of the Circle of Fire there. All right. Now, meanwhile, while China flexes its muscles and the Middle East burns in flames and Christians and Yazidis and other ethnic and religious minorities are slaughtered by the Islamic State, Barack Obama spoke at the Coast Guard Academy. Now, this was a couple of weeks ago, but I didn't hear about this for some reason. And I'll tell you why I didn't hear about this is because I'm getting sick of reading the news. I'm finding it more and more difficult to sit and trudge through this news every week because it's very depressing. And I'm wondering if it's beginning to have an effect on my psyche and just my general level of happiness. And I missed this story because I stopped reading the news for several days a couple of weeks ago because I felt like maybe I was, I don't know, I felt like I had to do it just for my own mental health. So Barry spoke to the Coast Guard Academy and he warned them that climate change constitutes a serious threat to global security. He didn't mention the Chinese building the islands. He did not mention the Islamic State, but he did mention global warming. Climate change. I apologize. Let me be more accurate. Let's see. In February 2015, back in February, the president argued that media absolutely overstates the threat of terrorism compared to more long-term problems such as climate change. And Secretary of State John Kerry, who recently broke his leg, did you hear about this? He broke his leg in a bicycling accident.
Only leg?
Yeah, unfortunately, it was only the leg, and unfortunately, he was wearing a helmet. But John Kerry... You're never supposed to speak ill of someone if they're in the hospital.
Well.
But unfortunately, he was wearing a helmet. John Kerry frequently refers to climate change as being as great a threat as those posed by radical Islamic terrorists. And then he drove off the trail and broke his leg. Can you believe he could say that with a straight face? What? No, I know John Kerry can't say anything with a straight face because he's got that face made of gelatin, but... But he actually expects us to believe this, and this is the state of leadership, political leadership in America. And I just hope he remains hospitalized for quite some time because he'll do far less damage. By the way, he broke his leg riding a bike. He had to take a break from the high-pressure meetings with the Iranians where he's trying to arrange to give them a nuclear bomb in the next decade or less. And the pressure was too much, so he went and rode his bike, and thankfully he crashed. So maybe the talks will be delayed. Let's see, Obama claims that climate change will, quote, change the nature of U.S. military missions, predicting widespread humanitarian problems around the world. Widespread humanitarian problems, which Barry is facilitating day and night in Libya, Syria, Iraq, Missouri, Maryland, Illinois, New York, the South China Sea. He's in large part responsible for widespread problems around the world. Yet he tells us it's because the sun rises and sets every day. That's the problem. Yeah, and carbon dioxide. That's it. Ignore the fact that I'm weak and I very well may be in league with the enemy. It's actually the climate. It's the weather. That's the problem. And the folks at, where did I get this story? And the folks at Breitbart, they report it. And they make fun of him somewhere at least. So that's, I like that about Breitbart. They report the facts and they generally insult the right people when they draw conclusions. A prediction I made about a year ago has come true. I reported last week on KLT radio here in Denver that I was saddened that my prediction that Cory Gardner would keep his promise to make birth control pills available over the counter to my daughter. That was the one campaign promise that I said Cory Gardner would keep, and in fact he kept it. So I was sad that came true. But I'm very happy this one came true from the Economy File here at the Weekly Worldview. Breitbart is reporting that OPEC's attempt to overproduce crude oil to crush prices and bankrupt the American shale fracking oil boom has failed. That's right. According to a draft OPEC strategy report. This is a report that OPEC issued. The report forecasts that crude oil supply from rival non-OPEC producers led by the United States will grow until at least 2017. And Breitbart reports that with revenues plummeting, most OPEC members are in a financial crisis and are being forced to increase production from last year and now flood the world market to financially survive. So the sheiks in the Middle East, they tried to crush the rednecks pumping oil out in West Texas and up in the Bakken. But what they found out was that the roughnecks and the roustabouts working in the Bakken and West Texas in the shale fields, well, they can survive on a lot less than the gluttonous sheiks who have to basically keep their oppressed populations at bay with social bribes and social programs so that the savages won't knock down their gates and kill them all. And these sheiks are big, fat gluttons, and they were not able to outlast the hardworking American out there fracking for oil. So hats off to the rednecks, the roughnecks, and the a redneck? What's a redneck?
Don't say that. I like rednecks.
I like rednecks, too. It's not a derogatory term.
Okay.
A redneck is someone who works outside and their back of their neck is red.
I want to be red.
And now a roughneck is someone who actually operates a drilling rig, and a roustabout is kind of an entry-level oil field worker who does all the dirtiest stuff, carries all the heaviest stuff. Anyway, the bottom line is none of them are big fat sheiks with harems and whole countries to oppress. And so we outlasted the bastards, and now the price of oil will probably go down as we move past the summer, and America will keep fracking, and the sheiks, well, they've been beaten at their own game by a bunch of rednecks. God bless America.
I wonder what's RT
going to say. Yeah, well, we'll have to look for the RT report on that, yes. They're not big fans of fracking, except in Russia. They're not big fans of fracking in the Dakotas or in Canada or in West Texas, but they're okay with it in Russia. All right, now, more from the war file. Now, this isn't a prediction I made, but this was an observation I made that I thought was fairly obvious at the time, and that a lot of people, even people on the right, people who are normally on my side, they disagreed with me. They think Edward Snowden is some kind of hero for exposing the dastardly government surveillance of all of our phone calls and all of our websites and emails. They're watching us all the time. They're collecting all of our information. Well, Breitbart's reporting that the theft of the 1.7 million documents from the UK government communications headquarters and the U.S. National Security Agency by Edward Snowden has had a profound impact on security agencies after extremist groups, including the Islamic State and Al-Qaeda, used what Snowden stole to learn about the spy agency's techniques, and it allowed the terrorists to train their members to avoid detection. This new report by the Henry Jackson Society says that intelligence agencies find themselves now in a particularly unenviable position. They're being asked to be less intrusive and more transparent, and yet to be just as effective. Following the leaks by Edward Snowden and that homo reporter at The Guardian who should have been arrested, and Edward Snowden should be drone-struck at the earliest possible convenience, at least three Al-Qaeda affiliates are known to have altered their communication methods after accessing the information that Edward Snowden stole from our security agencies and revealed to our enemies. Yes, in January 2015, a video was released outlining what jihadists had learned from the Snowden disclosures, and it provided advice that included tips on how to avoid detection, listed software packages that protect against surveillance, and basically just helped our enemies avoid being drone struck or struck by Navy SEALs or other such assets. Security officials report that it now takes three times as long to crack the communications of our enemy targets, the terrorists, with ongoing operations being continually polluted by the actions of the traitor Edward Snowden, who should be captured and or killed with extreme prejudice. Other intelligence officials report that it is likely that China and Russia can now read and adapt the methodologies from the Snowden files. The Russian security services may have even accessed the files without Snowden even knowing it, since they have him. By the way, the Russians actually have Snowden. Less than 10% of what Snowden leaked had anything to do with domestic surveillance. Most of it had to do with the NSA spying on groups like the Muslim Brotherhood, intelligence agencies in Russia, intentions to target Turkish and South African diplomats, and the location of NSA offices, bases, and staff. So Snowden told the enemy where some of our people are, and he may have very well gotten some people killed. We will find out. Anyway, so there you go. Edward Snowden is, in fact, a traitor. He has undermined our national security, and he should be dispatched as soon as possible. Now, I got a couple more here, but I really don't have time. Rand Paul, who is this guy, Rand Paul? What is he? He's like a wig model, right? Isn't he? He's one of those heads in the department store that they model either the new wig and how your Jerry curl would look if you put it on that particular wig. Anyway, I like Rand Paul okay. And in fact, I kind of agree with what he said here. He said ISIS exists and is stronger because of the hawks in the Republican Party who gave arms indiscriminately during the Syrian and Libyan conflicts. And so Rand is wrong that ISIS exists because of that. ISIS exists because Islam and Islamism is fundamentally hell-bent on conquering the world. It's a political ideology masquerading as a pagan religion. That's why ISIS exists, because those who follow the Quran to the letter of the law, they want to conquer the world and kill all the infidels. That's it. That's why ISIS exists. But I would agree with Rand that ISIS is stronger because the morons like John McCain and Lindsey Graham and other Republicans started just pumping the arms into moderate Arab friends to overthrow Assad and Muammar Gaddafi. So, as usual, Rand Paul takes things one step too far because he's just a little kooky. All right? I mean, look at the guy. He looks like he just escaped the mental institution. I'm sorry. I can't get on board with Rand. And him. Hillary Clinton's war in Libya. Disaster. Yeah. Well, I agree with that, Rand. So, anyway, I guess we're not going to let Rand Paul close the show, are we? We can't do that. No, that would be a tragedy. Hold on here. It's reason number one to keep your kids out of private school. Yes, the Fieldston Lois School in New York, Riverdale, as a matter of fact, they have decided that they want to fight against microaggressions amongst the students. Microaggressions. Well, I don't know what that is. One girl puts her hands on another girl. A boy asks his Asian friend where he's really from. A fourth grader delivers a biography about Jackie Robinson in blackface. And the liberals just freak out. They can't. And so what have they decided to do in response to these incidents? The Fieldston Lower School, Riverdale, New York, has decided to institute a policy of segregation. Yes, third graders fill out a questionnaire identifying their races and then spend time once a week with people who look just like them. It's just unbelievable. One of the teachers, administrator at the school says, well, disinhibited by the company of racially different peers, the children will, the school hopes, feel free to raise questions and make observations that in mixed company might be considered impolite. The bigger goal was to institute a cultural upheaval One that would finally give students of color a sense of equal ownership in the community. At which point someone smacked the guy and was like, "What's wrong with you? Are you mentally deranged? You're going to segregation? I thought we got over that like 100 years ago." All right, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank my friends at American Right to Life, KGOV, my other brother Darryl, who makes it all happen, here at the Weekly Worldview Studios, and my extremely attractive audio engineer, should the Lord tarry, I will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.